Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hallis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis.
What is going on, good people? It is your boy Scott and Flows here for yet another edition of 79th and Hollis. We know we ain't done an episode in about 10 days. Had emergency last week, couldn't do the midweek. And then this week, on Sunday, Joe took PTO. So we decided to do a joint pod to recap Sunday's game. In the preview, Sunday's game in London. So this is officially 79th and Mandem today. Me and Flows will be on a plane this time tomorrow. As I am watching the baseball game, it looks like the Mets just took a 1-0 lead off of Pete Alonso home run. So so if you're watching baseball, there's your update. But yeah, this time tomorrow we will be. Actually, we won't even be on a flight yet. We will be in New York City, my favorite city, waiting to board our second flight that will take us to London. If you're new to this show, if you just want to follow us on every platform, you know where to do that, man. You can follow us at Barbchair Scott on all social media platforms. Follow Flows at Flows Andolini on all social media platforms. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. On all social media platforms as well. Follow 79th and Hollis at 79th and Hollis on Twitter. And subscribe to the Patreon, man. The Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. You can take your phone, scan the QR code. It'll take you right to all the different tiers that you can subscribe to. And if you subscribe to the $10 all access fee for first-time subscribers, you get a 25% off code on the Barber's Chair Network shop, and that is bcnetshop.com. Get your 79th and Hollis 10th anniversary merch, which is available right now. We've got hoodies. We got T-shirts. 79th and Hollis, can't believe it's been 10 seasons since we started this podcast. Tickets from Meathead fans, from media members who are on their way to London to cover week two of the London games, man. So, folks, how we feeling?
Oh, I don't want to go on the flight. I wish I could drive over the freaking ocean. but yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to get the flight out the way. That's my only concern. I'm glad it's going to be in a big jumbo jet, so it'll be a little more roomy. I'm glad we got aisle seats because I'm a big nigga. But I don't know. The fact that we get to do this, we get to go overseas, cover the team, is nothing short of amazing. And I'm excited to get cracking. Also, it's a mini vacation for me because I'm still going to be working, but it's a chance for me to just unwind a bit. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. And we also got to thank y'all because we wouldn't be going anywhere without y'all. Y'all contributions to the GoFundMe, which we posted during the summer, during training camp, y'all held it down. And y'all are the only reason, honestly, right now we're able to make this trip. There was a couple haters out there, and I'm going to take a picture next to Big Ben for y'all hating ass niggas. But for the rest of y'all, the supporters, we appreciate all y'all because we wouldn't be able to do this without y'all, man. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking for the sightseeing. I have never been out the country before as a nigga that flies a lot. I fly a lot, but I've only flown domestically. So this will be interesting. Looking forward to it. Learning about all the do's and don'ts. Shout out to everybody out there who gave me the do's and don'ts for traveling. So I am looking for, I'm not looking, like Joe said, I'm not looking forward to the flight. I hate transportation in general. I don't like road trips either, nigga. I like getting to
road trips are fun.
I will do a long flight in it if I do a long road trip. I just don't like road trips. I just hate them. Anything longer than 3-4 hours, I'm really, really good on. 5 is the absolute most I can do a road trip without being annoyed. But I usually just like getting to my destination. I think the hardest thing is going to be getting adjusted to the time zone, but I've got a sleep plan, so I will be ready to go for that, man. But let's get into some football. The main reason we're going there is because of the football. We just this past week at Soldier Field, the Bears won their 8th game in a row at Soldier Field, which I feel like is a streak that nobody is talking about, not even Bears fans. A very underrated, under the radar streak. Bears won 36-10 over the Carolina Panthers, who are mainly responsible right now for the Bears having this rebuild being successful so far. You know, their picks ended up being Caleb Williams, Tyreek Stevenson, Darnell Wright. I think Torrey Taylor was one of them. And, of course, we got DJ Moore in there. And it's still not done. Then we get that second-round pick. Well, as bad as the Panthers are, that's going to basically be a first-round. That's going to be pick number 30 or 33. So that's going to be good to see. But it was a good atmosphere there at the game. I said, I'm not going to hold you. Yes, they had like a little Chicago MSG feel, as you know, a lot of Chicago celebrities were there. Like, you know, yeah, Derrick Rose was there. He had a good standing ovation. Angel Reese was there, her first game. Ari Gold, Jeremy Piven, he was in the house. You know, he's Chicago native. He was there. And also a random appearance by Mr. Anthony Mackie, a.k.a. Captain America. He was there. So it's a nice little homecoming game feel, like J.R. Bang said. You know what I'm saying? Been a homecoming score as well. Orlando says the chat, we the Shane flows where he has Caleb in his QB tier. Yeah, I was with Mikey. Like, yeah, Justin Fields should not be in the B tier.
I didn't want to put him in the C tier for just like a job well done, because he still managed to get a 2-1 TD interception ratio.
Yeah, but did you watch the game on Sunday?
I did watch the game.
He should have been on with the bastion of what you call it?
Bastion of Basura.
Yeah, that's what he should have been at, because that game was terrible. But anyway, man, Caleb Williams had his best game as a pro. He went 20-29, threw for 304 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Probably could have had almost around 325, 330 if DJ Moore would have caught that one first down pass, which DJ himself said he was trash for dropping. You know, DeAndre Swift had a total of like 150 yards, total yard game for him, a touchdown as well. They're really starting to use Roshan Johnson as their goal line. I feel like him and with Doug Kramer as the center, not the center, as the field fullback, it's kind of been their version of the tush push a little bit. Defense was great per usual. 4 sacks, interception by Kevin Byard, and the offensive line was great. Caleb spread the ball around pretty well. Cole Kmet had 3 receptions, 57 yards. Roma Dunze had 5 catches for 40 yards. Keenan Allen, 3 catches, 33 yards. And, yeah, I feel like it was really good offensive put. And the way I liked, too, was they scored right away, too, man. But what did you specifically think about Caleb Williams? Has Caleb Williams arrived in your eyes?
So I never want to say a quarterback has arrived until they've actually arrived. And what I mean by that is their play becomes so consistent that it becomes undeniable. It's like with Patrick Mahomes, his first starting year, he throws like 50 touchdowns. You knew he arrived because it just kept piling on, piling on, piling on. You didn't expect for him to have some crazy sophomore slump just because of how incredible he looked. And so I would have to give it at least a few more weeks, maybe 3 or 4 before I say, oh, man, he's arrived. He's on a nice streak. He's building up momentum, but I'm not going to jump the gun.
I'm here to jump the gun. I've been saying it each week. He's gotten better. Each week he's shown progress. And I feel like on Sunday was kind of like the, I won't say the coming out game, but it was just, okay, this is what we thought we were going to see from week one. Now he's a rookie. He's going to have his ups and downs. This is not going to be the first time. The last time we got some, man, what was Caleb looking at? I mean, his first pass game probably should have been a pick 6 if JC Horn would have had better hands. So like, there's definitely things that he needs to work on, but this is what you want to see. He's probably going to be rookie of the week this week if you look at the stats of the other rookies that they had across the board. Yeah. And it's clicking. More than anything, it shows you why Poles, no matter what happens with this season, has to really, really invest in this offensive line. Look how he looks when he has time to throw the ball. That was the best the offensive line looked. Now, I don't know if it's just because the offensive line or how terrible the defensive line is for Carolina. Probably just how terrible the defensive line was for Carolina. He only got sacked one time, and I even think that sack was on him. So I liked what you saw from that and just the control he has. I really feel like that he has control of the game. He has control at the line of scrimmage, which is something that you've seen from a lot of elite quarterbacks. You know, you've seen them talking to the offensive line like that, and I think that was good to see from him. So I think he's just getting more. He's getting freed up. I feel like he's believing what he's throwing more than past weeks. And I think that's a good thing. Like Shane O'Mac says, it's a good sign he's playing well against bad teams. For everybody who's in the it's the Panthers crowd. This is why I hate the it's the bad team in any sport. In any sport, I hate that phrase because if you lose that game, they're like, oh, well, you lost to the right. Nets if this right. is basketball. Right. You're supposed to treat Huff teams like they Huff. If the Bears would have won that game 20-17, we sitting up here having a different conversation. Like, right. you squeaked out a win against them. So that I don't really like. And I think it's this meme that Mikey posted, I sent to you, where it's got this skinny dude. He comes up to this girl, and he's like, how you doing, beautiful? But it says, Jaden Daniels
harassing Caleb.
Right, harassing when it's Caleb. Like, I like what Jaden Daniels is doing. I'm not trying to pick and choose. I think he's going to be good as well. But he ain't played nobody either. He going to get his test this week. When they play in Baltimore, I think they're going to put him through five tables. On Sunday, like Roquan got homicide on his mind, so that's gonna be his real test next week. But that's just why I feel like people just don't like Caleb Williams, and this goes back from the USC days. It's something that Bears fans gotta wear, and so that's why I just don't like the it's the so and so. Because if he went out there, if he'd have thrown for 150 yards, two picks, and one touchdown, we'd be like, oh, you can't even beat Carolina. Maybe Carolina won the trade, so that's why I don't like to hear that particular thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm with that because in the end of the day, and I have to give Eberflus credit for this quote about it's hard to win the National Football League. I don't know if he came up with the quote or he says it so much, but the mere fact is that this is professional football. And as I will break it down like I did before. In high school, you're just a hodgepodge of players. Maybe you're best in the neighborhood or something. Maybe you're best in your friend group, but you're a hodgepodge of players. In college, D1 professional level, you are probably amongst the best in the city, the best in the city of the state that you came from. In the NFL, you're the best of the best of the best. You're the best of those people. And because of that, there is a certain amount of toughness it takes to win. And so the mere fact that you're winning is enough. It's not like we're talking about your Georgia or your Ohio State and you're beating up on Akron. Like, oh, yeah, the great game against Akron. I'm like, it's Akron. It's Akron. What are you doing outside of that? Right. What are you like when you like Adrian Peterson in college when he was beating up on everybody, every team? That's where it's different. In the NFL, you're playing against professionals. Everybody's great. So a win is a win. And a good team, a solid team will beat the team that they're supposed to beat, even if it's not pretty. And so I'm not mad at him nor Jaden Daniels for beating up on a bad team. You're supposed to do that. That's the sign of a good team.
Yeah, exactly. You're supposed to treat those teams the way they're built. And if you're a Panther fan, I don't know how you watch that game without throwing up, bro. Like, because you basically gift-wrapped it. The Bears, I don't want to call it successful yet, but it looks like it's going to be successful rebuild. You know what I'm saying? And did you see the look on Scott Tepper's face, the owner of the Carolina Panthers?
Did not look good.
He looked like he wanted through vomit. And yeah, man, so the Panthers. But that's about Shane Waldron, man. Like, you talked about Flus, and I think that Bears fans, we got to be fair. You know, one thing we love doing is crapping on a coach, crapping on the offensive coordinator. But if they make strides, you got to bring it. I think Flus had a really, really good game, and it wasn't any questionable, timeouts. I'd have a problem with the execution about everything. Now the defense right. came out prepared. So I think he did a good job. And Shane Waldron, Joe, I think you called it. Shane Waldron has been on the up and up since the second half of the Colts game. You know, like he's really, really shown improvement. We said a couple weeks ago that team meetings with the players and the coaches, you go one or two ways. The season goes in the shitter or they turn a corner. And it kind of feels like that one's kind of turned a corner, you know? Right. They're telling, let's be aggressive, you know, let's actually use DJ more. And they did that this week. And even they did it last week. Caleb just didn't hit on the throws, but the plays were there. And I think that's something, too, the fans need to, you know, make a distinction. Just because the play call's not bad because they executed it wrong. Like, right. There wasn't really any plays I had a problem with on Sunday. Everybody was mad at the Roshan play. Roshan, like, the only problem I had with that, they should have used Doug Kramer again on 4th-and-1. Like, I don't understand why they took him out on that one, but that's probably the only play I had an issue with. And you're seeing there's a balance. They ran the ball 39 times, period, if you include Caleb's runs. But actual planned runs, they ran the ball 35 times. That's balance. Throw the ball 29 times. Now, I'm going to see how that's going to develop each week. But I feel like Shane Waldron is learning, and that's a good thing. What did you see from Shane Waldron play call? So
it's interesting with Shane Waldron because it was a lot of flack on him coming from other media, coming from me myself. But what I will say is that he's turned a good corner right now. And he's making things very simple for the offense, and that's how it works. That's what we were talking about, Jaden Daniels. We said, oh, man, the game is simplified for him. He simplified it for Caleb, and then he's slowly building Caleb into that offense. And so right now I think he's in a good space. You know, I think sometimes we probably jump the gun as Bears fans, getting so amped up and like, oh, this is terrible. This is the same old shit. Is something going to change? But I think it was probably a smart move to give him grace and to see what was going to be the future with him rather than just jumping on the, this is bad, it's the worst thing ever. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from him so far. I like how the plays are simple. You're sticking to what you know. You're allowing yourself to stick with the run, to use DeAndre Swift more explosively, to allow Caleb to get under center with some play action. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and I also feel like the execution has been better by the players. Like DeAndre Swift, I kind of feel like, I would say they gave him an ultimatum, but they kind of, you know, put him on the summer gym screen. Like, yo, you got to get better, my boy. Like, even the report of they're going to use Roshan Johnson more. And now he's starting to look like the guy that Ryan Poles put the money on. It really felt like, outside of the actual play calls being bad, it really felt like he was running into the offensive line in the first couple weeks. And I feel like he's learning more from that, and that just opens up things, everything together, too. And with the way you look at how the offense has been flowing, it makes the defense even more, I guess, like deadly, because I look at it like this for the rest of the season. If the Bears can score 21 to 24 points a game, they're going to have a great chance to win every game, because this defense isn't going to give up that many points. You know what I'm saying? Like, at all. Like, I don't even think they've allowed 36 total points, 36 total first half points in the first five games combined this season, and they have allowed 21 points or less in 11 straight games. That is the longest streak in the NFL. That's a good thing. But if there's something that I will be even slightly concerned about when it comes to this defense, we have to be the run defense. The run defense, they've given up 100 plus yards on the ground in three of their five games. So if I have to nitpick on anything, I think that will be the nitpick. But besides that, I think this has been a very, very great unit. Everybody had concerns, including me. My number one concern coming to the season was the pass rush. I thought that who's going to help Tez? Tez hasn't even really made an impact like that yet. And, you know, DeMarcus Walker told us during camp that I was hurt 75% of the season last year. You didn't get to fool me. He's out there dominating. He's out there having a great game. Javon Dexter Sr.
Steve's favorite player. Steve does not like Javon Dexter.
Which I have no idea why he doesn't. He is having a great year. He is tied for the most sacks by a defensive tackle in the league right now, and he's looking like he had the camp that he had. You know, what'd you take from the defense, and are you concerned about the running defense?
I want to act like I'm not concerned about the running game. But the defensive running game, because unfortunately the Bears have allowed a lot of really chunk plays when it comes to the run. Though I do know that this is a pass-first league and teams will lean on the pass more than anything, it's still not a good thing, especially when it comes to playoffs. Playoffs, postseason in general, run game gets used a lot more. That's when you start to lean on it because teams start to starting up. They have more tape on you. They have more a longer amount of film on you to understand how your tendencies and everything are. So I am concerned, but I do not think there's an immediate decision, an immediate thing that can change them, like impactful. Like what is the thing? Is it to get somebody in free agency? That's not realistic. So the best thing I can say to them is probably to crowd the line of scrimmage more, stack the box a few times, bring some more heat, be creative in your blitzes, allow yourself to maybe come off to not so dominantly come off the edge, get the interior more. There just needs to be probably more discipline at the line more than anything. But yeah, that's the really only thing I can think of. Outside of that, it's not a patchwork fix. You kind of have to deal with what you have right now.
Yeah, I think too. You know, it's not. It's something I'm looking at. I think we'll know later on in the season if it's a big concern. Good thing for the Bears. I don't think they face like they'll have a challenge against Washington because Brian Robinson Jr. is a really, really good running back. That's really been helping out Jaden Daniels a lot having that running game. So it's something I'm paying attention to. I wouldn't name it a concern right now, but I do think it's something that I will be paying attention to, man. We talked about, you know, this on I'm Not Going to Hold You. I wanted to talk about this last week, but we didn't have the pod last week. We're in the winnable stretch right now of games before we go into what I like to call the gauntlet of hell. And the gauntlet of hell is the six division matchups you got in the second half of the season, which begins on November 17th. We got Green Bay coming to the crib. Two Green Bay matchups, two Detroit matchups, two Minnesota matchups. And those Minnesota matchups are actually matchups that are looking a lot tougher than we thought coming into the season. And you got them six, and then you got San Francisco, and you got a playoff team in Seattle. So you got eight really tough games. So they're already 1-0 in this five-game stretch. You got London coming up this week against the Jaguars. Bye week on the road against the Commanders. And then you got Arizona in Arizona. You know, that West Coast 3 o'clock game always gets weird because Arizona one week can look like the best offense ever created, and then next week look like they've literally never played the game of football. And then after that, you got New England, which will be Drake May coming to the town, which they announced that he's going to be making his debut on Sunday against the Texans, which I don't understand whatsoever. If you're going to bring him as a debut, debuting him against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. is not how you want to debut. I'm sorry.
Right.
Especially as terrible as that offensive line is in New England. But he's going to be going up against them. So I said, I'm not going to hold you, that I have them going 3-2 in this stretch. Would have them be 5-4 heading into the gauntlet of hell. We don't have to go game by game, but just tell me what you think their record will be through the remaining four and who the losses will be to.
That's a very good question. I do not – one thing's for sure is that their upcoming schedule, I do not see them losing to the Jaguars. That's probably the most immediate thing. And it's not that I'm so confident in the Bears that I do not think it cannot happen. But that's just like the first things first out the way. And then, of course, you're going to have to deal with Washington, Arizona, and New England. It's interesting because I'm not sure how New England will be, especially with a rookie quarterback. Washington's going to be a good game. You're in Washington. I would probably give that one to Washington. And if not for home field advantages, for the fact that I just love the way their offense flows. But if I had to guess right now, I'd probably give them wins over Jacksonville, New England, and probably Arizona. Washington is an interesting game. Or it could be flip. It could be that you lose to Arizona, beat Washington. I'm not 100%
sure. I'd rather have that. I don't want to deal with losing to Jaden Daniels. I don't want to hear that.
The comments, the narrative will be, oh man, maybe they should have picked them up. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, if there's any game they win for me this year, it's that one.
When Jaden had a good couple games, it was all, oh man, they should have got somebody better. Looks what happened. Perhaps they didn't pick the right one. It's annoying. It's lazy, but it's kind of part of the game. My own specific belief is that they'll probably beat Arizona, lose to Washington. Now, if the chinks in the armor of Washington come off when they play the Baltimore,
yeah,
when that happens, if they show chinks in the armor, then I might give the Bears the edge. I'm only saying that because of like probably Bears PTSD. I'm so used to them going these type of games and losing. Then again, I was also used to them going against Carolina, a team that's historically bad, and losing as well. So perhaps I'm looking at it in a jaded lens, and I should probably not. But if I'm giving it outside of my gut, I'm just going logically. I think they're better than all of these teams. With Arizona, you're correct. It could be one day they're great, one day they're not great. So if I'm doing without my gut, without my feeling and in my emotions, I'd probably say that they beat Washington. They also beat the Jaguars. Arizona could be interesting.
That's got stupid finish alert written all over.
Stupid finish alerts. 3-5 game. I'd probably have them going 3-1 in the stretch.
3-1 in the stretch, yeah.
But 2-2 would also be good. This is just like that, like Flew said. It's a National Football League. It's tough to win in this league. So I don't want to jump the gun. And I feel like when I say 3-1, I'm jumping the gun. So I'd probably go 2-2. And I don't think they lose to New England or Jacksonville. That's just I can't see it happening. I think they're way better than these teams. And I don't think Drake May will have enough time, nor do I believe in him, will have enough time to get acclimated. So if they lost to Arizona and Washington, I wouldn't be shocked.
I think the Washington game is purely PTSD for me. There's no because their defense is not good. Like the Commanders' defense is not good. The offensive line can't be had, and I think our defense I think they're gonna have a good job against Jaden Daniels. Mine is just strictly Bears PTSD. I don't think from a football perspective, I think the Bears are the better football team than the Washington Commanders. But that just feels like a game the Bears will lose because there's a lot of stuff on the line, and it's a big matchup between Caleb and Jaden Daniels. So there's only two games I really want more than anything. That's one win against the Packers, and I want that win against the Commanders. But if they go 3-1, like you said, that means they'll be 6-3, right? I think it's 6-3.
Right.
They're 6-3, getting ready to head into the gauntlet from hell, which I think is a good cushion. You know, think about division games too, because everybody's like, oh, the Packers are so good, the Lions are so good, the Vikings are so good. Think about division, you gotta throw all those stats out the window because right. It's a division game. We know each team knows each other too well. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's other stuff. If you look at every division game the Bears played last year, outside of the opening game with the Packers, where they just washed them, the second game against Packers, Packers won by 8. It was 17-9. And Justin was out there selling, and they won 17-9. You know, right. So the Minnesota game, they won in Monday Night Football in Minnesota. They could have won. It's the first one in Chicago. But that was the game that Justin got hurt and Tyson Bagent played for the first time. Right. They should have swept Detroit, you know. Right. So I think that – and the thing when you get the tough team, they're going to win a couple games. They ain't got no business winning. Just right. like they've already lost a game, they had no business losing. They're going to win a game or two, they ain't got no business winning. And I think in the NFC, the way the NFC is shaking out right now, I think 10 wins is going to – I don't think you're getting into playoffs with anything less than 10 wins. So I think that'll be a very, very important stretch. And if they can – if they can go, 2-2 in the next four, 3-1, I think they set themselves up pretty well for the remaining eight.
I think so, too. The remaining eight, I think, is, of course, we talk about it's a gauntlet. It's just a lot of teams you're familiar with, a lot of tendencies that you already know, and then it's a toss-up with most of the games. But this is really the defining stretch. This four-game stretch can really set you up for the future. Because if you win three of those games, you're 6-3. And if you split the next game, you can get yourself 10. That's a good stretch. What they'll do with it is dependent upon if they're a good team or not. And again, I am going to hold my criticism just like today. This week I held off with an article just said, I'm like, you know what? Let's get to London before I make something definitive. But this is a stretch where they show whether they're a good team or not, or they just had a nice couple of games.
Yep.
And I'm intrigued to see how that goes.
And you're also going to see how good of a coach Flus is and how good of an offensive coordinator Shane Waldron is, because in that gauntlet, they're dead last in the division between all of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kevin O'Connell is a better coach. Matt LaFleur, we know he's a better coach. Dan Campbell. So their decision-making is going to really, really, stand out in those closer type of games as well. So let's pivot to London. The Bears are currently in London already. They landed this morning, which is really, really good, because during the Nagy era, these idiots left on a Friday. That's an all-day flight. So technically, they didn't get in until Saturday morning. And Trust me, if you remember that game, they played like they came in Saturday morning. I forgot Mitch did not play that game. Mitch got hurt the week before. And Chase Daniel played that game, starting for the Bears against the Raiders. And the way he threw that pick at the end of that game, they just played sloppy all game. So the Bears left last night, landed in London early this morning, but they left without their starting strong safety, Jaquan Brisker, who is currently in concussion protocol. This news was broke by Chris Emma last night from WGN. Jaquan, maybe that hit he had.
Right.
He must have got some of that as well. But they did say he's not out for the game. If he passes concussion protocol, he will get on a plane by himself and will fly out and meet the team out in London. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple of days. The Bears off day. was today. I see a lot of the Bills on the Instagram going sightseeing. Tomorrow will be their first practice. They're going to practice 3 days in London. Tomorrow they will be meeting the media. We speaking to Matt Eberflus, Caleb Williams, and Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren will also be speaking tomorrow morning. Now, me and Flows will not be there because we'll be still on the way to London, but we will be at the Thursday practice where the coordinator speaking, a couple random players speak as well. So they're going to get a full practice in. I personally think that, you know, if Jaquan can't go, I feel that Jonathan Owens can fill in, you know, pretty right for one game. You know, I think he can do that for one game. You know, we're a strong safety. Your main gig is to hit niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the your main, knock niggas out. So I think that he'll be fine. I mean, definitely going to miss Jaquan if he's not out there. He's had a phenomenal first five games of the season. But what do you think about the potential loss of not having Jaquan Brisker out there?
You're going to feel it. You know, even if you have a capable backup, it's not the person who's normally playing. So you're going to feel it. The question is that can you mitigate enough damage while you're playing, keep him from getting on an island, and set yourself up for success? And, again, that goes into the territory of, are the Bears truly a good team, or are they just having a nice stretch? And I can't put my finger on it yet. They play like a good team in the past couple of games, but is that something systemic that is truly a culture change, or is it just a flash in the pan? And so as of right now, I'm optimistic about it, but the best thing that they can do is shore up everything else, shore up your defensive line, shore up your linebacking core, and allow the rest of the DBs who are around the replacement to fill some of that gap. And if you do that, I think they'll be fine.
And also, too, Tevin Jenkins made the trip. You know, he got hurt in the last game. He's been hurt the last 2 weeks. I do think this is last year with the Bills. I do not think that nigga's gonna come back. He's a free agent. Remember, they had trouble with the contract negotiations. He just can't stay healthy. Like, to be completely honest with you, he just can't stay healthy. But he made the flight, so we'll see what his practice status is. But those are really the only two injury concerns. Let's talk about just London trip expectations in general, not even just for the Bears. Like, what are you looking forward to see out in London, and expectations you have for your first international trip, if you have any?
London's interesting. It's not my first place I would pick for international travel. And so I'm coming at it with a little bit of, oh, this is going to be cool. We're going to be in London. I know there are plenty of sites for us to see. Food, not so much. Yeah. I know there's plenty of sites, places to walk around to, just getting used to the culture. But yeah, I'm kind of like an open book with it. You know, I'm intrigued to see where it goes, intrigued to see what happens. I don't have a view of England one way or the other. And it's not even like American hubris where it's like, I don't want to visit the UK. No. I do want to go out of the country more. I do want to visit things that are not the US, but England is kind of okay. That's okay type of deal. So I'm intrigued to be there.
Yes, Ron. It is the morning game for US. Yeah, for the US, it's 8:30 Central Time, 9:30 Eastern. But yeah, go ahead.
For us, it's
2:30. It'll be 2:30 in London. Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's going to be cool. It's going to be solid.
And Damian said, don't get knife, niggas. You're the fifth person to tell me that niggas really like stabbing out there. So, good thing is, we're from Chicago, Illinois, and I look around everywhere. So, you ain't going to catch me lacking, period, nigga.
I know when I need to leave a spot.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I won't walk through Beverly Hills and look around my back. That's just how trained I've been to expect niggas to get on some bullshit. But I actually wanted to go to London for a long time. And really because I've watched a lot of TV shows and movies that have been based in London. So I've always wanted to visit London. A lot of people have compared it to like a UK version of New York, and New York is my favorite city that I haven't lived in. So, you know, that's why I kind of see that comparison, but I don't really have any expectations. I'm just trying to see as much as I can see while I'm out there. I don't know when the next time I'm going to be out there. Right. So I don't really have any expectations. I think honestly, it can do nothing but exceed my expectations. Right. I don't really have any. I'm expecting the food to be trash. So if it's even decent, that's a win. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I heard good things about the beer, so I will be trying to see what I'm looking forward to going to that pub where they shoot Ted Lasso at. I've got that on my to-do list. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I don't really have any high expectations. Like, I'm just excited to see what's going on. I'm also excited to come back to America and call niggas Americans. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'll definitely be doing. Ace says, make sure you go to Brixton. Also, check out the restaurant called Efe's. Damn near the only good restaurant. I will put that on my list. What did Captain America do when he got out of hibernation on Winter Soldier?
I was making a list.
Yeah, that's, I got a London list. Anybody who got restaurant, I'm actually going to tweet that too. Anybody got London restaurant, you know, recommendations. I will be taking all of those, man. But let's get to the actual football game. Oh, no, I do have one expectation. I heard that Tottenham was an amazing stadium. I heard it's new. It's only been around 5 years. The Bears are actually the first team to play, first NFL team to play at Tottenham. Them and the Raiders were the first NFL game at Tottenham Stadium. So I'm looking for to see how great that's going to be. The roof is going to be open. And also, the press box seats look amazing. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But yeah, man, I'm down for whatever it is to do. I'm looking to have a great time. So let's get to pick time.
Yeah, I agree. Just to reiterate what we're talking about, it's just I feel like I don't have anything lofty. They'd be out there.
I've heard about that.
I don't have a lofty expectation of it because it's just never been that one place I wanted to visit. I think probably more than anything, Italy.
What place do you want to visit?
Italy.
Italy, okay.
Italy, Germany. Italy and Germany are probably my favorite places. France, I've heard it was dirty, but it's kind of whatever. It's like, it's cool. It's cool to get it to do it. But I want to go to places where I can just sit in the sun all day, relax. The Maldives are like a spot that I want to go to.
Like a real vacation type spot.
Yeah. I want to go and just go more than I want to see a specific destination.
Right. It's going to be cold and rainy up in London, nigga.
I know.
It's going to be a lot of 50 degrees
of rain. Like wave is nuts. It'd be like 70 or something.
Which is crazy.
And they'd be like, it was so hot today. And I'm like, 70? What?
Other places I want to go to, actually the place that we're going to have a two-hour layover in, I actually wish we had a little bit more time, Amsterdam. I've wanted to visit Amsterdam. I want to visit Tokyo as well. I want to visit Tokyo as well. And also I want to visit, I want to visit Monaco. And this is funny because the only reason I want to visit Monaco is because remember that scene in Iron Man 2 where they did the Grand Prix? It was the code. That's where I want to go. Damien said Italy is legit, especially Rome.
That's what I want to see. I want to see all the old architecture, especially going to like catacombs and churches. Seeing Vatican City is another one. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I want to cross out when it comes to Italy.
I will be taking a lot of pictures. I won't have my phone out because I heard niggas steal phones out there. I saw a couple YouTube videos. Niggas be on their little scooters and swipe. So I won't be just having it out looking like a tourist, but I will be taking a lot of pictures, man. But let's get to the football. Bears, Jaguars. Jaguars coming to this game, finally winning one, which they still almost lost on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. Trevor Lawrence, Trick Off Trev had a decent game, but they ended up winning that game, got the first win of the season. I'm actually glad they won. I did not want to deal with that winless team desperation.
Yeah. That's always dangerous.
And they're going to be out there for 2 weeks because they've got another London game the week after that. So they're coming in on Thursday, but they might be leaving earlier because you got that big old hurricane out there. By the way, if you're in Florida, prayers up to y'all, man, because that hurricane coming looks like it's going to be terrible. But this is, like you just said, this is a game they should win. Honestly, I would say this should be another homecoming game, as Bane likes to call it. But very rarely do you have back-to-back blowouts in the NFL. And also, this is a London game. So, you know, there's going to be – I feel like it's going to be stupid finish alert on this one. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think that the Bears will come out on top. I think the defense will be good. I think that Caleb and the offense will make more strides. I think this defensive line, this is going to be a good test for the run, because even though all of the Jaguars are bottom three – in all defensive categories, most defensive categories, they're top 10 in rush defense. So this is going to be a good test to see if the running game is really, really making strides or not, or is it just going against tough defenses that guard the runs? That's going to be good. I think Caleb obviously is going to make mistakes eventually, but I think the major what are you doing mistakes are out of his system.
Right.
I think that, you know, each week he's getting better and better, and I think you'll see more strides as well. I feel like each week you kind of had like a different start of the game. I think Keenan Allen's going to have a game on Sunday. You know, Rome had this game in Indianapolis. DJ had his game last week. I think this week is going to be Keenan's game. I think Keenan's going to be a Keenan game. And I think the Bears are going to win 24-17 in a very, very close game. And they will be 4-2 heading into the bye week. And we will have a good 2 weeks of feeling good as Bears fans. 3 weeks if you include the other stuff. So, yeah.
I'm probably going to go 30-20. I think the Bears go out to a big lead, probably 3 touchdowns. And kind of nurse that lead from then on. A few times we'll probably get a little bit closer than we want to see. And then they'll pull away towards the end or make a nice defensive stand. I see them getting a pick off of Trevor Lawrence. He's only had 2 interceptions this year, but I see him giving up that rock a bit more. He also, I don't think, has – and that's what's interesting with stats can mislead. He has like 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks, but I don't think I've seen anything that makes me believe he's having a good year.
No, he's not at all.
You know. That's where you have to go deeper into it. And so I probably go 30-20, get a pick off of Trev. I think the run still finds a way to ease to get some yardage. I want to say about 40 yards from Roshan, about another 50, 60 from DeAndre Swift gets in the passing game. And I still see Caleb getting around 275, 280. I think this will be his first 3-touchdown passing game. I think this is where we start to wonder, has he arrived? You know, is this it? Is he the guy finally? And, he just puts together a really overall solid point performance, but I think he gets more explosive. I think we see a lot of more shots downfield. It seems like the Bears have been stacking up those shots downfield as the game has gone on, getting more daring, moving out of the short, the line of scrimmage passes, and moving toward those intermediate, those 20, 30, 40-yard passes. I even think we'll see a big bomb. I don't know if it'll connect, but I think we'll see a big bomb. Probably like a 50-yarder. I don't know who's
going to go.
I don't know. I don't think Keenan has the speed. I don't know if he ever did.
Rome be dusting niggas low key.
Rome can get down there, and he already has like a 30-yarder or 2 30-yarders this year. So honestly, I still think it'd be Rome's game. I think this will be Rome's game. I think this will be Rome's game. I think it'll be a good chance for him. I probably will say the ball gets spread around evenly. You know, we get about 70 from Rome, about another 60, 70 from DJ, 50 from Keenan, 40 here from Cole Kmet. I have no clue what that adds up to. I could be completely off. But I think the ball gets spread around, maybe 10, 20 here to Gerald Everett. I mean, not Gerald Everett, but DeAndre Swift. I think that's going to propel the Bears forward. That consistent game from Caleb, where he's just putting it together day in and day out. Because I like what you said earlier. He does look more in command at the line of scrimmage. You know, what's the biggest thing is that it seems like he knows the offense. He changes things at the line of scrimmage, calls them out at the line of scrimmage more than we've seen the Bears quarterback do in quite some time. He takes ownership. You know, I remember when Justin used to say, you know, it's not my job to call plays. That's what they do. And it's true. It's true that it is the job of the offensive coordinator to call those plays. But I do think quarterbacks need to take ownership in that. Or like when you get into the line of scrimmage, you realize, oh, I wanted to run a nice little bubble screen, but here they're sitting in the flats. They got a cover 2 or a cover 3 where those flats are guarded. They're going to blow this up. I need to be more careful. Let's audible out of that. Let's get something to, go up the middle. Let's get something to cover those the deep middles. Let's get something to run up the gut. That type of thing comes with ownership. From a quarterback, where you start to say, I'm a part of this offense and I'm going to be a guy who's going to have input and I'm going to say what I think needs to be changed. And when that happens, I think Caleb I'll start to wonder, is he the guy? As of right now, cautiously optimistic.
On a scale of 1 to 10, that you're confident he's the guy?
6.
You that low? Okay. I give Joe's been pretty fair. Like I give you
time, and it's because I don't think I was as fair as I could have been with Justin, because my relationship with Justin, not a personal.
You look at him with Buckeye colored eyes,
exactly. But a fan relationship to Justin, media relationship, is that I looked at this dude like he could do no wrong, And it isn't because he was somebody special. He was special. He's special talent. But it wasn't because like he was like the greatest talent the Bears have ever seen. No, it's because he was a Buckeye. I saw him beat the hell out of teams. I saw him have a bad game against Clemson, come back the next year, absolutely dust Clemson. Now, I saw him also get beat up by Bama, which sucked. But I saw him beat Michigan every single time. And he could do no wrong in my eyes. You know what I'm saying? And so there are times where I was like, oh, let's hold on. Justin's the guy. And then it got towards the end of his career, and I got fed up one game, and I said, I think my exact words were like, this nigga trash.
And what game do you remember? Was it last season that you was like, yeah, you know what game I was officially off? The final game. Because I was like, we already out the playoffs, but your job is on the line. It's the Packers. Rob him of a playoff spot. He shit the bed. That's when I was like, the two times I was finished with the last two quarterbacks were both in Packer games. I was finished with Mitch in the 2019 second Packer game. And Mitch had one more year, but I was done with him at that 2019 Packers game. And I was done with Justin last year. What was the game for you when you were done?
It's funny. I'm looking up through 79th and Hallis. Oh, here we go. Wow, this may have been you. I don't know. This was September 24th, 2023. So this is early in the season last year. And somebody put Justin sucks ass, man. DJ was wide open.
And, that sounds like you.
And then it was also another one from 2022, Justin with another costly turnover. It just seems like it was like a lot of fed upness towards the end, towards the middle ground of his season last year. We're like, here we go. Yeah. And I just think I got fed up with the fact that, not fed up, but I got tired of constantly saying this is what he was going to do next. You know what I'm saying? He has it. No, he has the tools. I was like, yeah, he has the tools, but I don't think he's going to put it together. And with Caleb,
what Lewis Riddick say? Flashes get you fired.
Exactly. And with Caleb, I'm seeing growth that I did not see from him.
Yeah,
I'm seeing him progress through his reads quicker. I'm seeing him get the ball out a lot quicker and have a motion that gets out a lot quicker. I'm seeing him take ownership of the offense. And this is not a like a very hype thing or just I'm in a spur of the moment. I'm caught up in the moment. I'm being legitimately true when I say there is something that I did not see in Justin that I see in Caleb. And because of that, I have higher hopes. But also higher hopes come with higher expectations.
100%.
And now I'm like, hold on, let's see. We'll have to wait. I'm cautiously optimistic. I like what I'm seeing. Do it again. And after you do it again, do it again. Then do it another time and another time and another time. To the point that it stacks up for a season. And I go, he's a guy.
Promise. Look at the elite quarterbacks in the league right now. And Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. When they have bad games,
having a stinky year so far, but he always does.
But he's Patrick Mahomes. That's why he gets away with it. That's my point.
Six interceptions. Man, just stinky.
Any other quarterback,
he hasn't not thrown a pick this year.
He didn't throw a touchdown last night.
Nope.
And they won. They're getting away with it.
Yeah.
They're 5-0. That's the scary thing. So what I'm saying is like, when those caliber quarterbacks have bad games, do we like, give up on them? No, because they put in enough work. You know what I'm saying? So he has to get to that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you can change too. If you look at other coaches, Jared Goff, bro, I think is one of the great examples of a QB who turned their story around. Like right. Matthew Stafford turned around, but nobody thought Matthew Stafford was trash. We just said he was a stat patter.
Right.
Or as I like to call him, stat Patford. Niggas said Jared Goff was trash. This is how low he was. The Rams threw a first rounder in with him. That's how low they felt. And that's a man who was their quarterback when they went to Super Bowl
right.
The first time they lost. So with Caleb, it's about stacking games, as Waddle right. always likes to say. Good if you're whoever you're in whatever field, you're only as good by as consistent as you are. Right. Why do you look at rappers? Why do you think Kendrick Lamar or Jay-Z are so great? Consistency.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Jay or Kendrick just don't give you a good verse every couple of years. What Jay do now because he retired. But right. You know what I mean? Like, when he was actually active, it happens all the time. Greatness is repetitive. So when Caleb gets that, the reason I'm an 8, that's just because I watch closely when he was at USC. Like, that's LA's pro team. So I watched a lot of USC football these last couple years. And one thing I've seen since he's been a Bear, he's following the same trajectory. If you go from OTAs to mini camp to mandatory camp to training camp, he always starts off slow. Every time he starts off slow and he gets better. Remember back in mini camp when they were like, oh, you know, Cadence is bad. Then we come back to training camp. Oh, no, he mastered Cadence. Beginning of training camp, he started off slow. And he started getting better and better and better. And that's what we're seeing. That's why I'm at an 8 of my confidence level win, because this is not like Mitch's 6-touchdown game against Tampa, where it was the worst defense I've probably ever seen in my life. You know, nobody throws 6 touchdowns. That should have, you know, even last year, I can't even think of Justin's breakout game. Maybe that game last year against the Broncos, we had 330 yards and 4 touchdowns. But he also threw a pick that lost the game. Remember, they were up 27-7 and lost?
Right.
So that's the thing with that. Like, we were so happy about 300 yards. I think that we're not going to be talking about 300 yards that much, because I think it's going to be a consistent thing for him. You just said you got him going for 280. Wouldn't shock me if he keeps going for 300, because he's a modern quarterback. He already has the same amount of 300-yard passing games in 5 weeks that Justin has in his whole career. And this is not to dump on
Actually,
Justin.
Didn't Justin add a 300-yard game recently?
No, that was the second one.
Oh, really?
His first one was last year with the Bears. He only has one with the Bears against the Broncos when he threw that pick and they lost. And then last week against Indianapolis.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking over his stats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He only has 200-300-yard passing games. Right. Caleb has that in the first 5 weeks. So I think that's going to be a normal thing. Even the games where Caleb isn't good, and it might be a game where he got 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He going to have about 330.
Right.
To go with that. So that's why I'm high on him. And I think that if you're a Bears fan.
That nigga never touched 300. Bro. Most of these games are like 100, 100.
Most 100. Of them weren't even 200 if you want to keep it a buck.
Wow. Yeah. 188. Wow. So his first year, he started totaling some 200. No. Hold on now.
It's my passing, not total yards.
No, I'm looking at pass yards. Okay. No. Never mind.
Right. Even the game this past Sunday, he had 2 touchdowns. He threw for like 150 yards on Sunday.
Yeah, 209. Yeah, his first year, 209, 291, 224, 288 were his high games. The next year, 208, 254 were the only 200-yard games. Last year, he finally had that
300 yards.
Last year, he finally had that 300-yard game where he got 335. And then
he threw a game-losing pick.
Yeah, and then never really cracked 1,000. Yeah, that's even now he's not at 1,000 yards after
Caleb's already 1,000 yards.
Caleb's already at 1,000. Justin's at 961. Though I will say he's on a little bit of better trajectory. I mean, he has 300-yard game, 200-yard game, and a lot of 100-yard.
He's not gonna play the rest of the season. As soon as Russ is ready, he's going back to the bench.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin pretty much all but told Mike Tirico that on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. And it's a shame, because I truly believe if he's in a system, Buston Fields is one of the craziest bars. When niggas called him that last year, it broke my soul. I was like,
yo. I didn't want to laugh at it last year, but it was funny.
Like I said, man, I gave him too much leeway, and I think I learned from that. And it was only because he was a Buckeye. If he would have stayed in Georgia, became a legend there, I wouldn't have given a shit this much. But he's a Buckeye, and I want to see him succeed. It's like when Dwayne Haskins, rest in peace, was in Washington, I wanted him desperately to succeed. Now, bear in mind, this man was a record breaker at Ohio State. Broke every single record that there is. Used to stump Michigan out, had a close game. Used to stump Michigan out when he played. I wanted him desperately to succeed. And it was so much. I'm like, we have a vested interest. You sort of lose your objectivity. You go, it was fine. You know, he's just growing as a player. And what I realize is from now on, it doesn't matter if, you know, 15 years from now, Caleb's a legend. Caleb won MVP, Super Bowls. And then all of a sudden we got another Ohio State QB. You know, I'm 35, so I'll be worth 48 then. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, man, it's Ohio State QB. I'm going to treat him the same way.
So you're only expecting Caleb to play 13 years, is what you're saying?
I said 15.
You're not gonna be 38 and 15. Yes, you are.
I'm 48.
I'm thinking you my age. You're right. You're right.
I'll be 48.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll
be in 13 years.
15 years.
Oh, 15. My bad. I'm not here.
15.
Yeah, yeah. I will be 50 and 50.
But yeah.
Actually, man. I'll be 51, my nigga, because I'm turning 30. I'll be turning 51 around 51.
Right, I'll be turning 34. Years, but if we're talking about this month right now, you'd still be 50. Yeah,
50.
And then the slow march of death, nigga. And then we. Then
you, hey, as my step was true. If you're a black man and you turn 50, the clock is on.
Hey, man, I'm grateful for every day above ground. And I'm also grateful if the Lord decided to call me. Whatever. It's his job, not mine. I'm going to do what I got to do. But if in another 15 years, the Bears, Caleb Williams retired, 15 years successful career, and they get into the Ohio State QB, I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt like I did with Justin. I'm going to say he has that first year. Caleb has had the first year with me. I'm like, his first game, didn't Caleb not have 100 yards passing?
Yeah, 93.
Which is crazy that he got to 1,000 already. Had 93.
The Bears would have lost that game. The defense and the special teams. Jonathan Owens and Tyree Stevenson are the reason the Bears got that win.
Right, right. But, you know, it's interesting. You just look at his stats. First week, rating 55. Next one, 51. Really tough game. Two interceptions, no touchdowns. He just looked all over the place. Next game, 80. Then 106, 126. He went from 48% completion percentage to 62, 63, 73, 69. And then those yards start to tick up. And then you start to see a drop off of interceptions. So he's putting it all together. I'm just going to be cautious because I've been burned before.
And I think that's fair. I think we've been fair with our Caleb. I don't think either me or you have gone too far, but I will say this. Do not let him go to Landover, Maryland in a couple weeks. Show out in the Bears get the dub. I will be talking crazy. Okay? I will be talking crazy if that happens. I've never had a Bears quarterback be involved in QB wars, so this is my time. If he does it, I will be talking. But that's all we got for y'all on this edition of 79th and Hallis. We got a lot of content for y'all coming up on this trip. We're going to have a couple pods. We're going to shoot a lot of stuff, get y'all some good access from this trip. So I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, man, shout out to everybody who's supporting us and got us to London to do this, man. So you know to follow me on all social media platforms at Barchair Scott. You can follow Flows at Flows and Delaney on all social media platforms. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on all social media platforms. And also follow 79th and Hallis at 79th and Hallis on Twitter as well. You can also subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. If you got your phone out, take your phone up to the screen, scan it, it'll take you to the QR code, and you can subscribe to any of our four tiers. And if you are a new subscriber, for the $10 all access tier, you get a 25% off code for the Barber's Chair Network shop. That is bcnetshop.com. You know, get your 10th anniversary merch, man. We got a lot of dope stuff up on there. I've got the 79th and Hallis hoodie on. Joe's got a package coming. Shout out to everybody who has purchased stuff, man. We appreciate y'all, man. So anything you want to say if we up out of here, or are we good to go?
No, man, I'm good.
All right, we're gonna holler at y'all.
It's time to go home and start packing. I normally have class today, but I took it off because I'm like, man, I need to get packed, everything focused. So I'm ready.
I'll be ready. I'm a nigga, so I'm packing in the morning. So well, I don't have nothing to do in the morning like you do, so I have time.
Right.
To do that. So yeah, man, we'll holler at y'all this weekend with a whole bunch of content. We about here.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis.